Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast devotional. This week, we are on part two of Psalm 8. We've gone through verses 1 through to 4, and now we're embarking on verse 5. The psalm, which is one of David's, is remarkable in so much as it exalts God to such a high place, causes wonder in the heart and soul about how God's love for us moved him to visit us, even though we are so small in the scheme of things, considering the heavens, how large they are and vast and endless. How do we come into God's thoughts? The psalmist wondered. But then he knew that God's love was so big that he would take note of something, such as man, so small. But not only that, in verse 5, we start to see God's incredible plan for the man that he had created, the man and the woman that he had created. In verse 5, he says, "For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." This is saying that God has made man a little lower. Now, here is a point that is worth understanding. As we dig into the scriptures, we find that the word angels there, Elohim, in Hebrew, is only this time translated as angels. Every other time that word pops up in the Hebrew, it is translated as God. Obviously, it was a little bit much for the translators to comprehend that the psalmist was saying, "You've made man just a little lower than God?" That couldn't be. Let's say angels. Let's keep it in a place of normal comprehension. But I think God is beyond risky in his love and in his kindness. One thing we need to understand is that love is not love if it does not give away what it has. When I love someone, I want them to share the experience that I am having. If I'm at a beach, I'm watching a sunrise, I'm on a yacht, on a mountain of snow somewhere, I'm always thinking of someone I care about or someone I love and thinking, wouldn't it be great if they were here as well? I'd love to see them and feel with them this experience, because when we share the experience with people we love, it actually helps us go full circle. And we're able to give thanks to God. He's able to bring greater blessing in our lives. And we're able to share the experience around, share our story with others. And that is exactly the heart of God. He enjoys creating a universe. He loves the universe, loves all that he's created. You can see love in everything he's made, from trees to birds to humans to animals. Love is everywhere. The fact that food tastes so beautiful, he could have made it so it all tasted terrible. The fact that there are just thousands and thousands of different tastes to the tongue, from bananas to cabbages to potatoes to fruit of all kinds of fish meat and other meat. There's no end to the taste that God has actually allowed us to have with herbs and spices. But then there's also sight, the vast multitudes of colors. I mean, God could have just given us black and white vision. We probably don't even need color vision. What a waste of supernatural power that is to give us. But here is God being extravagant, giving us thousands of kinds of birds, thousands of kinds of animals. It's the love of God is extravagant. It is enormous. He gave us air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, friends to have, like the world is a giant playground, snow to ski on, water to swim in, so many great things in all the earth that we're constantly discovering we can do. How bad would it be if I built a beautiful playground for my kids down the backyard and they all just ignored it? They all thought, no, he doesn't want us to enjoy it. We'll just sit here in our room and be bored. That would be terrible. God has created this beautiful world out of love. And he gave us the ears to hear it, the sounds of rustling leaves, rushing water, whistling wind, roaring oceans. He gave us ears to hear it all. He gave us nerves to feel the wind on our skin, the heat of the sun, the chill of the morning, the brisk of the snow, all of these delights that we have constantly in our lives. A tongue to taste, a nose to smell, the thousands of different smells. This is God. He is love. And he has given us his experience. He is sharing with us his experiences, helping us to enjoy the same. But to crown it all, he then gave us a free will, something animals don't have. The caterpillar has no free will, and so when a time comes upon it to form into a chrysalis, it does. It can't stop the process, it just happens. And then out of that chrysalis comes a butterfly. An absolute astonishing, remarkable miracle that God has put in the earth, letting us know that he doesn't need billions of years to turn caterpillars into butterflies. He can do it in 2 weeks. But the thing is, you and I are destined to be born again. And that requires our choice. Unlike the caterpillar, we do have a choice whether we transform from the bug's life to the butterfly life, from the life of just being in the flesh to a life where we are born again, born of God's Spirit to be his child. So that becomes something we're invited into by the Lord. Because of love, he respects our decision. He respects the choices we make and allows us to make them. All of our choices have consequences. He hopes that we will learn and understand that we are to make the right choices. But he certainly did not want robotic beings saying they love him and praise him when it cost them nothing, when it involved just a robotic switch that he could switch on. There is no satisfaction in that. But when people remain faithful to him and love him through choosing to, even though it may be challenging and difficult, that is what love is. And God, he has free will. God is truly free. He has the power to say no and the power to say yes, just like you and I. And he gave us that. And so in the earth, God gave us dominion. Verse 5, you've made him a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor. Verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. Incredible. Even the devil. Romans 16 verse 20 says, God will shortly bruise or crush the devil under your feet. So the fact is, God's defeat of the devil is through you and I. It's not separate from us. We defeat the devil under our feet in the name of Jesus. So God, we give the credit to for giving us the authority and the dominion to crush every evil spirit that comes against us under our feet. So this dominion God has given us is something that he respects too. Not only our free will, but the fact that we rule in the earth. And sometimes people will say, why did God allow this or that to happen? Often it is the consequences of men's and women's choices. And we must be accountable for the choices we make. We must understand that there are outcomes to the decisions that we have chosen to move on. The greatest thing we can do is make a choice to have Jesus Christ in our life and let him guide that decision making. Ask him what we should do. Because even though we have dominion in the earth, we are still to be a servant of God. So though we are masters in earth, we are serving the Almighty God. And whoever we serve, it's their spirit that we will bring into the earth. It's their plan that we will execute. It's their will that will be done. And so as disciples of Christ, bowing our lives down to him on his altar to be his servants, we then rise in dominion, in authority, in power, in this earth, exercising divine authority against all the forces of the devil to build the church, the kingdom of God, to expand and to see entire nations coming to Christ, to see men and women everywhere bowing down to the Lord, coming to Christ and surrendering their lives to him. And when we surrender our lives to him, we are transferred from the dominion of the devil. No longer does he have dominion over us, but we now have dominion over him. Because Christ has all authority in heaven and earth. Through the cross, he completely disarmed every devil in hell. Took away death, the keys of hell and death, sickness and oppression. And now you and I have the power to bring freedom and healing to other people in his name. Verse 5 says, you've made him a little and you crowned him with glory and honor. This is the glory and honor that we have been given. It's borrowed. It's from the Lord. It's not as though it's our glory and our honor. When we honor God, he honors us. And we wear an honor that is inherited from him. Verse 7, it says that we have this dominion over all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. Well, this is true. There's virtually no animal on earth. Well, there is no animal on earth that isn't under the dominion of man. Sometimes greed has capitalized on that dominion. And so we see animals being slaughtered for no good reason at all. We see unfortunate things happen to whales in the ocean, to creatures of the forest. And it is sad because we've been called to be stewards in the earth, to look after what God has given us. We aren't here with dominion in the earth to fulfill our will. It's to fulfill his. So as I said before, we will find ourselves giving an account for how we've behaved in the earth and handled what God has created. He has given us dominion over the works of his hands. But then there's also a spiritual meaning in this, in so much as we have dominion over sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. Sheep are considered in Scripture as the congregation of God. Oxen are his ministers. Even the beasts of the field is the harvest of the world. The beasts in there are like the creatures that are enemies of Christ. The birds of the air are often referred to as demons in the New Testament and in the Old. And the fish of the sea are the great many lost people who have yet to meet Jesus, who told Peter, "He will make us fishers of men." And so we have dominion in these areas to build the congregation of the Lord, to expand it, and to develop ministries and ministers for the gospel, and to take dominion over all the creatures that are against the kingdom of God, all the beasts of the field and the fish of the sea. We will see thousands, multitudes coming to Christ in Jesus' name. So the psalmist finishes with the same words as he started. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth." We're praising God today because even though he is so big and the universe so vast and man so small, yet God is mindful of him and has given him great glory and great honor. Insofar as the psalmist says that enormously powerful phrase, "You have given him dominion over the works of your hands." We rule in this life, and we rule by declaring, prophesying, praying, believing, speaking, seeing, exercising those spiritual tools and weapons that God has put in our hands. And I'm believing for you that his power will rest in your life in Jesus' mighty name. God bless you. Look forward to our next time together.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.